That evening, I found myself actually looking forward to reading and correcting the letters my students had written. The first one was a pleasant surprise. Instead of very good, I wrote, "A pleasure to read, clear topic sentences and lively examples of how Michael Jordan affected your life." I swelled with pride at the high level of my students' writing and took full credit for having inspired it. So much for you, Mr. Steele. But the next paper looked as if it were written by a second grader. It was Melissa's letter to Barbara Streisand, and it barely filled half a page. I picked up my red pencil and wrote, "Poor work. No inside address. Where's the date? Misspelled words. Undeveloped content." I looked again at my big, red, angry comments and thought, how could I do that to Melissa? That's the kind of criticism Mr. Steele threw at me. I was stopped in my tracks. It wasn't hard to praise what you liked, but how do you criticize what you don't like? How do you point out what's wrong without demoralizing the person you're criticizing? Was there any way that Mr. Steele could have expressed his displeasure to me without discouraging me completely? I stared out the window. Maybe if he had started by appreciating what I had accomplished, however little, I could have heard what bothered him without going to pieces. Maybe if he had said something like, "Liz, you've achieved your goals. You motivated your students to learn how to write a letter. The one thing I see that still remains to be worked on is how to generate enthusiasm for your topic and still maintain order." If he had said that, I could have heard him. More than that, I would have given serious thought as to how to prevent the kids' excitement from getting out of hand in the future. Maybe that was the key to helping children improve. Instead of focusing on what's wrong, start by acknowledging what it